You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
906. A GQ model just walked in looking very debonair, dapper. It's Walter Assey from Renovco.
I'm telling you, TV, that's where I belong. I don't have a radio voice.
You're wasting,
radio face, I should say.
You're wasting those sport jackets on the radio, my friend.
Yes, I know. I should have. Next week, I'm coming with my jogging suit. That's
absolutely.
It.
Do what I do. I've been wearing these Lululemon pants since the March of 2020.
You're still in your COVID clothes.
My COVID clothes, yeah. I got used to them. Well, it's funny. I don't know if I was telling this to you on the air or off the air, but this year we went to two weddings, and I had to put on my suit that I hadn't worn in a few years. The pants were a little snug.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that it actually fit because...
Yeah, I know. I said, ooh, put pandemic pounds.
You'd have had to go with Lululemons to your wedding.
did you put on any pandemic pounds?
I didn't, actually. I started training the first day. And I knew that this is going to happen. So I said, okay, I'm going to go the other way.
And fight it.
I was actually working out 6-7 times a week, which was awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Good for you. Well, yeah. You can make me feel bad now.
I can't do that anymore, but, you know.
Walter, before we go to the phone, do you mind if I give you a question from the text line?
Sure.
Jimmy's handling the phone calls right now, so we'll let him get settled and organized. It says, good morning, gentlemen. Any recommendations for a smart thermostat that would control both thermopump and air exchange? Also, who's best qualified to install this device? That's a thank you from John in Laval.
As far as thermostats are concerned, it has to be compatible with your unit. Not every thermostat is necessarily compatible, so that's something that you would have to research before. But usually the best guy that would be
qualified
to do this would be your ventilation tech. So any guy that change furnaces, heat pumps, and what have you, ventilation companies, they will know the good ones. There's also smart thermostats, so I would recommend that you do that so you could control it from your phone. Mm-hmm. If you want to higher or lower the temperature when you're remotely, you're on vacation, you hear it's too cold or it's too hot, before you come into the house, you want to preset it to a certain temperature. It's an awesome way of controlling it. And specifically in days where you're outside the house and you like it to a certain temperature when you come in, so you could decrease it during the day, increase it an hour before you come home. So there's a lot of things that will give you that flexibility. So I do recommend that you do a smart thermostat, but do get your tech, your ventilation tech to be involved in this.
Very good. All right. 514-790-0800, the number to dial if you want to talk to Walter. He's here for the entire hour, and it's a great opportunity for you to get some guidance on whatever issue you have at home in terms of a project or a reno job. Free advice. Let's go to Edward, who's calling in from the South Shore, Longueuil. Edward, is that you?
Yes, and thanks for taking my call.
No problem. You want to talk about windows?
Yeah, it's a question for
Walter
and your guest.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the windows, I'm on a, there are 24 condos. I'm in one of the section at number 5. Mine is not foggy, but my downstairs neighbor and the one on the side all have foggy windows. What could be the cause of this?
Okay. First, how old are your windows?
About 4 years old.
Okay,
that's not old at all.
Years.
That's not old at all. So that's there's something that is not right in the quality of the window itself. Usually, it's a gap seal that is letting the air in between the two panes. Okay. Now,
yeah.
That is usually that happens years after the installation. It shouldn't be happening within the first 4 years. So what I would first try to do is to call the installer or the manufacturer of the window and see, because there are some windows that have a certain warranty on them. Like, for example, Isothermic, which we distribute, have a lifetime warranty.
Right.
Lifetime. So basically anything that happened with the window, they come and replace it, no questions asked. That guarantee might apply to that particular manufacturer that installed the windows. So I would call them first, because, you know, the least I'm thinking should be 5 years when it comes to windows as a warranty from the manufacturer. Usually you could, if you don't want to change the whole window, you can simply change the thermal pane itself. So that will get rid of the fogging, and you'll have like a nicely sealed thermal pane, and you know it's not as intrusive as replacing the whole window. There are companies out there as well that they could, you know, make a little hole and then, you know, suck the humidity out of the two panes and what have you. I'm not a big fan particularly of this, because from what I heard, that after a few years it comes back anyways. Okay. So I would, you know, if you're going to invest your money, either invest it in a new thermal pane, but do check with the installers first if it's still under warranty.
Yeah, there is warranty, and some of them are going to be replaced. I don't have the problem, but I said, is there some way that I can, do something so I don't get that foggy?
To avoid the problem.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, you can't. What I always recommend is when you're doing your research for window manufacturers, look for windows that are robotically welded. And the most automated system you can find that avoids manual assembly, because that's where a lot of mistakes happen. You know, a lot of those mama papa stores, they come in and they buy the profiles and they just glue them together. It's not necessarily the best practice in our weather. In milder climates, maybe it's great, but in our weather, it doesn't really work. So you want to have something that is robotically welded, that is really sealed, and to avoid any minor cracks, you know, in the frame itself that will cause you these types of problems. There's also the, whatever is between the two panes. Some manufacturers put that in metal, and I really don't like that because metal expand and contract. That's not really a great product to put in between the two panes. Look, when you're looking at that gap seal, make sure it's a technoform or rubberized type material that does not work with the cold and the hot weather and the mild weather, and then, you know, the extreme cold and the extreme variations in temperature that we might have.
Go ahead, Edward. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that, is there a gas inside there, like an argon gas or some inert gas in between the windows?
If it's Energy Star, yes. If it's not, it's an option, right? So it's low-E argon gas. And that is, if you have that sticker that says Energy Star on it, then it must have it, right? So,
okay.
Again, it depends. When you guys changed it, you changed with the Energy Star rating. If you did, have to have the low E argon in it.
Yes, some of the windows are going to be replaced under warranty, and they're going to change the whole window, I believe.
That's good. That's actually very good. But there's nothing you could do yourself, unfortunately, at this stage, except watch your windows, and, you know, maybe you're the lucky one that you didn't get a lemon.
Mm. Yeah, both the number fives, like in the other block and mine, are side by side, and we get direct sunshine, you know?
Okay.
A lot of sunshine from the east, and we don't seem to have this problem. But the one downstairs in the side, number five, number three, they all have problems.
Yeah, I don't think it's related to sunshine or not. It's just a gap seal, like I said. But, it's helping the fact that you have this direct sunshine. That's a good thing. Anyways, keep on watching it and see with the manufacturer the length of the warranty. That's very important.
Edward, I hope that was some help for you. Thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Okay. Have a nice day.
You too. Absolutely. Exactly 9:15. If you want to talk to Walter, call now. Grab a line at 514-790-0800. This is a home improvement show, Saturday mornings here.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
We have a couple of phone lines open at the moment. If you want to talk to Walter, you have a question for him, he can help you out. 514-790-0800. This is the Home Improvement Show. Again, 514-790-0800 or a text line at 514-800. We're almost done with the month of October. I was mentioning this morning that yesterday was so nice. We did a little work in the garden. We put the patio furniture away for the winter season. Any advice, any things to keep in mind to, I don't know, winterize the house and get it ready?
I mean, lots. That's a great time to walk around the house. Walk and inspect the house.
What am I looking for?
The land. You're inspecting, you're looking at all kind of things. I mean, you want to look at foundation cracks. You want to look at weeping holes of the brick, anything is blocked. You want to look at landscaping, if some of it have moved or settled and now something is, you know, directed towards the house. You want to make sure your gutters are clean. Inspect your roof. That's a good time to look at the roof and see if there's any shingles that flew or, you know, anything that needs to be caulked or, you know, windows, doors, really everything that could be a problem for you in the winter. Now is a great time to do it.
When it comes to foundation cracks, are there any that are, tolerable? Like, at what point do you go, I better take care of that?
There are some cracks that are really in the parging, and they're not in the foundation. And sometimes, you know, people mistakenly think, oh, I have a foundation crack. So a professional would know that right off the bat. And, you know, if you're not sure, you could even send them a picture, and they will tell you right off the bat without even sending you a technician there. So not every time that you see something visually, it means it is a crack. Usually, telltale signs are there. If you don't have the water, you see that the crack itself is, you know, it's something that is bigger than just the superficial hairline crack. Okay. That's what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to go walk around and look for these things. And, you know, if there's something that you need to correct, now is the time to do it. We still have a couple of weeks of nice weather because, again, after that, you're going to have to put materials that only can be installed at a certain temperature. If you need to put, you know, some cement or if you need to put some caulking, then, you know, you have to look at the temperature of the application as well. And, you know, it just gets to be a lot harder to fix things as the time goes. And, you know, also your fingers, right? So, you know, if you are working in the cold weather, you're not really, doing the best of jobs usually. So.
True. All right. Let's go to the phone here. 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter from Renovco. James is out in Pancor. James, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling the show. You want to talk about insulating the ceiling?
Yeah, I have about a 4 or 5 inch gap between my gyprock ceiling and a fully boarded attic. It's empty, and I want to put insulation in between. So I was wondering what you think the best method of doing that, also the best method of putting the vapor barrier.
Well, here's the thing. If you go with urethane, you don't even 3 inches, you don't even need a vapor barrier. It becomes itself a vapor barrier.
Okay.
Okay. So the best would be a closed cell urethane spray foam. And, you know, if you can get up to 3 inches in that, the minimum would be 3 inches to get to the vapor barrier stage, then you don't need to install a vapor barrier.
Do you think I could blow that right on top of the attic boards and leave the void space between the gyprock and the boards without worrying about condensation getting into my gyprock?
Well, if you do have board backing from the roof trusses and it's blocked, it's actually great because you do need some type of backing that you could shoot the urethane on, right? If you don't, right. You would need to make one, or you need to go from the attic and shoot it on the drywall. But that makes it a bit... It's not my favorite technique to do, because if you ever have a problem, when I rip out that drywall, the urethane is going to come with it, and it's going to be harder and messier to take it out.
Okay, so you think blowing the urethane right on top of the attic boards is the best bet?
It's the best bet. That's correct. And you're gonna try to get 3 inches worth of urethane if you can, okay. Or more, right? So you can get that. Because anything else that you're going to put, let's say you put fiberglass, right? Fiberglass in a 6-inch, you can maybe get yourself an R22, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you get 6-inch worth of urethane, you are more than doubling that. So you can get a lot more R value from the urethane than you would get from the fiberglass. The urethane, when it gets wet, it does not lose its R value. That's the great thing about it. Whereas insulation, the fiberglass, even like condensation, makes it lose R value because it gets wet. And it's like a sponge and gets wet, and it technically never dries, okay. Right? Unless you put like a rock salt type insulation. But even then, you're going with bad insulation. And personally, I can tell you that from experience, you can't go wrong with urethane. It is a bit more expensive, but it's faster to apply. So there's a labor saving there as well.
Well, the guy I've spoken to that does the spray foaming is very highly recommended. His fear is that the void space between the gyprock and the batik boards would eventually create a condensation and I'd have sealing rot.
I don't understand why, though, because you're going to have a thermal barrier, right? I mean, the whole idea is the cold and the hot are not meeting. And
what his fear was the cold air coming in through the soffits, even with the spray foam, with the urethane.
Yeah.
If it were to drop down in between the boards and meet the hot air that's in that void space.
I mean, okay, so he can go from the attic and he can shoot along those boards from the attic space as well. So you could do it from the bottom and then you do it from the top. As long as we can create, what you're trying to do is you wanna try to eliminate any thermal bridge. So if you have, you know, it's a question of if I can get 3 inches in there, and that will be my vapor barrier, and I'm sure that I close all my gaps and all my holes and everything else, and that's what you know urethane will allow you to do, a lot less than regular insulation, because regular insulation is not sprayed, right? You know, it's bat or blown in. You know, in your case, I don't think there's another type of insulation that could be doing a better job than the urethane, really. You know, so again, it's a question of if he needs to apply from the bottom and the top just to make sure that they seal it properly between the hot and the cold zones, then you shouldn't have any problems at all. I don't see that he recommend any other alternatives.
Well, he suggested cutting about 16 inches of the attic boards from the perimeter wall and just spraying that type of urethane in between the gyp and the boards so that he doesn't have to use urethane across the whole attic, which is relatively more expensive than just the spray foam, is it called?
Okay, yeah.
But with the small rafters around the exterior of the house, the roof supports, and the minimal space to get a saw in and all that, it was very, and he wanted me to do the cuts. It was very difficult to get in there and do those cuts. So I said, I can't do this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with insulation guys. They want to get to the easiest possible job.
I know.
Right? The more complicated the job, the more they want to, you know, go to the second job. And that's a normal thing. They really like to go to new homes and just shoot them and finish them in no time, right? So it does become a challenge to get the technician to accept to work in such confined spaces and difficult times, that's for sure.
How's that? That's the wall. That's exactly what I'm hitting, you know. That's exactly what I'm hitting is that he seems reluctant to do it because to do it properly requires a little bit more tedious type of work.
I mean, you might want to get another technician in. You know, sometimes you get the younger guys a bit more hungry, you want to prove themselves. And you might get lucky. So when you have a guy that's reticent, usually don't try to push the envelope too much, even if he comes recommended. You're pushing him on a job that he doesn't want. Mm. So he's going to either overcharge you or not do a great job just because, you know, he doesn't want to take the job.
This guy was definitely not supposed to do this, but the guy, the representative for the Renault Klima program, he was actually the guy that suggested this guy, saying, I've seen his work. It's incredible. You'll definitely get your reimbursement. I know that's probably a taboo thing for him to do, but I liked that. You know, I liked hearing that, hey, the job's going to be done, A, properly, and B, you're going to get your reimbursement. Mm-hmm. So those were two leading things, but he doesn't seem the best guy for the job because he's reluctant to do some of the harder manual labor involved.
And that's when you get another contractor in that is more hungry and more willing to...
Yeah.
All right.
James.
Cool, thanks. I appreciate it.
We got to run. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye now. It's 9:30. Walter's ready to take more calls on the other side. 514-790-0800. Hi, 9:35. Ken Connors just jumping in with a word for Electrica. John and his terrific team of certified electricians at Electrica. They take pride in making you feel safe and comfortable and convenience in your home. Proud Montreal company, and they keep expanding. They're expanding their services now, handling all your heating, ventilation, and air conditioning needs. Maybe you're worried about ice building up on your roof this winter and the damage that can cause. Well, Electrica can install those heated roof cables, more and more popular. Plus, erratic weather, extreme weather, power outages, prolonged power outages. No one wants to go through that. Electrica get a lot of calls now for backup home generators. They'll pick one out for you, help you choose the right one for your home, and install it safely. You can reach Electrica anytime.
anytime at 514-768-7778. That's Electrica with a K.ca.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
937, if you'd like to talk to Walter, free advice from a guy with a lot of years of experience here, Renovco, home renovations, handling issues in the home, jobs that need to be taken care of. Maybe you just need a little guidance. I have a couple of questions. Call now at 514-790-0800, like James and Pancor did a couple of minutes ago. You know, we were talking about winterizing your home and getting it ready for another cold season. I guess it's worth reminding, do some people still forget to turn off those exterior faucets?
You'll be surprised. That's what keeps us busy all winter.
Is that right? Unfortunately.
People forgetting to properly winterize their homes. I mean, another thing that we see very common is, you know, blocked drains from septic systems, sump pumps, I should say. Mm-hmm. They freeze and, you know, it backs up into the house, failing sump pumps as well. You know, and you go there and it's a 20-year-old or 25-year-old, you know, sump pump. So it's all part of looking at everything, looking at your furnace, changing your filters on the furnace, looking at the sump pump. You know, if you don't have a backup sump pump, do install one, because for many reasons. And it's not necessarily in cases where that sump pump fails. It's also in cases where you have so much rain that the sump pump itself is not powerful enough to evacuate or fast enough the water. In this case, you're going to have another one that's going to kick in to help it. We even, in certain cases, we've had two types of drainage in the field. So one, they don't even go in the same pipe. We put them in separate pipes. So if one blocks, there's a backup as well. So it's a redundancy plan for, you know, especially when you have finished basements. Most finished basements are not adequately insured. Oh. That is a big thing. There's so much times we go to flooding in basements, and they're insured for $10,000 on a $50,000 or $60,000 loss, including furniture.
Oh, boy.
So do look at your policy, because that's usually an oversight from a lot of the homeowners. They don't read their policy adequately, or the broker doesn't explain it to them adequately. Make sure you're adequately insured. It's super important. Look at your insurance. These are all parts of the things you're preparing for. So if something happens, at least, you know, you have proper insurance as well.
Great advice. Thank you very much. Good point there. We're going to go to Laval and bring in Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good. Good to have you on
Hi,
the
Walter
show.
Hi, Walter and Ken.
Thank you.
I have a little problem.
Yeah.
I have a under-counter porcelain American Standard sink in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it for 5 years, and all of a sudden, I have this very, very fine fracture coming from the pop-up up on the side of the sink. It doesn't leak whatsoever. You don't even know it's there. You can't even feel it with your fingernail.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. I called the company in the head office in Toronto, and they said usually it comes from the pop-up. But all of a sudden, it's after 5 years, it happened. Now, it's going to be expensive because it's an under-counter sink, so it means that I have to have a bit of work done to replace the sink. What do you think I should do with it?
You're right about the undermount sink, because it's usually glued. So taking it out from the counter itself is going to be a challenge without breaking it.
Yeah, so and I also have the tile, you know, on the wall, the backsplash. So that would have to be broken and everything also.
Yeah. So I'm not even sure what you have is a crack. Sometimes it's just a chip in the porcelain that is so minute that it does not protrude.
No, it's a small crack that's coming up from the pop-up almost up to the top of the sink.
Okay. So then definitely that will... What you could try to do is there are repair kits. Now, in certain cases, we use epoxy glue. We sand it down. We wait for it to dry. We sand it down, and then we paint it a porcelain paint.
Okay.
You could try that.
Okay.
I've actually fixed it once. We've tried it once in about a quarter size hole, believe it or not, in a jacuzzi. It was extremely expensive to replace.
Okay.
And she had some workers over fixing something. or hanging a mirror or something, and then one of them dropped the tool inside the bathtub and it created this like quarter size hole. It was gonna cost a fortune to replace. So we attempted that. It was not guaranteed, but you know what? 10 years later, it's still working.
Okay. Now, some people had mentioned maybe just to put like a type of a transparent caulking. Just put, take a very, very thin one with your finger and just put it over top of the crack.
That could work, but caulking is temporary, so that means maintenance. Okay. What you want is something that's going to help the spread of the crack as well. And caulking won't do that.
Who would do that for me?
Okay. Any person that is, like any handy person, honestly, that, you know, even, you know, painters, ceramic guys, really anybody that is handy, because it's not really a trade. It's someone that is kind of aware about, you know, you could actually Google if there I don't know, I haven't Googled in so long, but those, you know, repair paint bathtub companies, and they
I'll check that out. See, when I first saw it, Walter, I just thought it was a hair. I said, "Oh, look, I got a hair in my sink," but it wasn't. It's that very, 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 very fine little crack.
If you go from the bottom and you look up, do you see if it's cracked through and through?
It's not cracked through and through, no. And you don't even, I looked at even underneath the sink to make sure there's no leakage.
Okay.
And no, and like I said, if you take your finger, you don't even feel the crack.
Okay, so that's good news for you. You don't necessarily to go that drastic. That's why I said
I'm going to leave it for now. I know it's there, it's bothering me, but I'm going to leave it for now.
Yeah, but watch it out. I mean, watch if it's expanding, if it gets bigger, then you might need to look into it. But if need be, instead of replacing it, try the repair kit first.
There you go.
Okay, for sure. Thank you, Walter, for your help.
Thanks, my Judy. Pleasure.
Enjoy the day. Bye, Ken.
Bye now. Bye-bye. 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter from Renovco. We still have time to take your call and get you on the air. You probably have a better memory than I do, so maybe you remember this call. It says, Ken, can you please tell Walter a big thank you for his advice last week? I successfully took out my three windows. Much appreciated, Abby. Does that ring a bell?
I don't remember that, but
Did you advise someone to take out windows?
Sure. Okay.
Take credit for it.
I advise people all the time to take out stuff. So,
very good. 514-790-0800. You can text in as well here on the Home Improvement Show at 514-800. Ken Connors, Walter Assey, Home Improvement Show.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. 10 minutes away from 10 o'clock. Still time to call in at 514-790-0800. We're going to get to Sue here in just a second. You know, it's hard sometimes. I think this came up in a call a few minutes ago with Judy and Laval about just finding a handyman, you know, just do little jobs like that. I have a friend who owns a condo in Griffintown, and it's not too handy. He says the building maintenance guy who does the vacuuming and washes the windows. He says he's super handy. And so they all, you know, he comes upstairs and he takes care of little odd jobs and he keeps busy that way too.
Yeah, that helps a lot, especially in condos. Usually the janitors are, you know, that's why they like these types of jobs. Yeah. They work there and they make extra money on the side. Okay. It's not so much so for homeowners. And the bigger problem is when it comes to handymen is that the millennials are not handy. Not all of them, I'm saying. In general, they're less handy than the previous generations, right? Mm. Plus the newer generations, right? So you have the Generation X and Generation Y, and these are even less handy. Matter of fact, there were studies done at Home Depot in the States, because the techs there have even realized that the questions they were getting were, you know, from the younger generation,
right,
were a bit more elementary from the older guys. So they made a study, and sure enough, most of the younger generation is not as handy as the older ones. So they are now homeowners, and they are hiring this labor, and there's already a shortage in the market. So it's a kind of a domino effect.
Yeah, trickle down, yeah. We're going to LaSalle, Walter, and Sue is on the line. Hi, Sue.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Oh, we're good. Thanks for calling the show. Good. Talk to Walter about your problem.
Yes, hi, Walter. How are you?
Good.
Good. my hood above the stove, it doesn't seem, since I put it in, you know, like more than 12 years ago, I had my kitchen renovated, and it doesn't seem to be sucking up the grease.
It's not sucking up the grease. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not.
Yeah. How many times have you changed the filter?
I changed it. Well, I bought a new set, and I wash it like, try to wash it like once a month, both filters.
Okay. So you are maintaining those filters on a regular basis, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, when you turn the machine on, is the sound the same? Do you hear a difference?
Yes, and I even put a tissue, you know, underneath to see if it's going to have any suction. And it sticks it, you know. I even checked the little vents outside.
Yes.
It has like four vents.
Mm-hmm.
And they all open up, like the low speed, medium, and high.
Okay.
Only like the bottom one, maybe a screw is loose or something. That's, it stays down. Yeah, I can put it on even to the highest.
So when you turn it on, you see that the flap opens on the outside.
Yes, right.
Okay, so that's a good sign. That means there is air coming out from there.
Mm-hmm.
How long is the trajectory from the fan to the outside?
I would say 1, 2, maybe about 6 feet or a little bit more.
6 feet, okay. And how do you know the strength of your?
Yes, it's I think 300.
Okay, so that's not a bad CFM for that machine. For the 6 feet should work. Beside the filter and something blocked, I don't see anything that I could, you know.
I was thinking about replacing it at a higher speed, but I don't want to spend money, you know, if it's not going to do it. And also, I should mention, does that make a difference? To the left, there's only one hole there, like an opening. The previous one we had, the older kitchen, the older fan, that had two of them, you know, like two vents.
Mm.
And this is only one, so I don't know.
That should not be an issue. But what I want to know is how well connected are we to the location of the hole? Because I've seen certain installations that the just because the hole was a bit offset, and then, you know, it's really not a good connection between the hole and the machine itself. So it does partially work, but not completely work. What you could do is you could take out the machine, dismantle it, and see potentially.
You mean the fan, and take out the fan?
Yeah, take it out, unscrew it, and then see if it's well connected to the exhaust, because there again we've seen cases where because people change their kitchen and the layout is a couple of inches offset, so that offsetted everything, including the whole of the kitchen fan. And believe it or not, you know, there was a very bad connection, or sometimes no connections at all. So that's one of the things that might not be helping. If that doesn't work, then, you know, and you feel that the fan is old, maybe you could upgrade yourself to a stronger fan for
you
sure.
You think about 12 years or something, that's too old.
Now, how high is the fan from the stove?
How high is the fan? I would say maybe 2 feet or 2 feet.
24 inches. Okay, that's within range. That's fine.
Yeah, but you see, prior to that, when they installed it, the previous installer, he had put in, the hose that connects to the washing machine.
Yeah.
So somebody told me, we had another guy that came here. He said, you know, that's a fire hazard. And he took it out.
Yes.
And you replace it with a galvanized.
Yes. But now, the question is how many bends we have, and are we straight out to the hole in the wall? Because that will decrease the efficiency. Every time you have a bend, an important percentage of the efficiency of the fan goes down with it, right? So if you have three bends to get to the outside, already you are losing at least half the efficiency in bends. So what you want to do in this case, you calculate the bends, and that's how you look at the CFM you want to get in order to compensate for those bends. So that's one thing that you might want to look into as well.
The vents, okay.
The bends, not the vents.
The bend.
So how many times the pipe is turning to get to the outside?
Okay, because you see, right now it's hidden. It's concealed under the cabinet. So for them to do this here, they'll have to take the cabinet down, you know?
No, I'm saying first you start with where the vent is right now and how it's installed. Am I really straight out? Because if you're offset, that means you have a bend. That's already, you're already starting with a bend and then you're ending with one. So that's where that's where you have to evaluate. Now, if you see that we're going straight out and the connection is right, then it's just a question of not having enough CFMs and getting a stronger fit.
Okay, enough power for it, yes.
That's right.
Okay.
Especially because, I mean, it's also about cooking habits, right? You know, if you cook a lot of greasy stuff, if you fry, you need higher efficiency. When you're just using it because you're boiling pasta, then it's not really as...
Sometimes I put it on. I put it on at the highest speed, even if I'm boiling at high speed, and the water, it evaporates, it comes down, you know.
That's definitely you have an issue with maybe how many bends you have to get to the outside, and that, to compensate that, in order not to go in a very big job, you're going to install a stronger machine.
Okay.
All
I
right,
see.
Sue, we're out of time. What are you cooking today?
Thank you so much.
What are you cooking today?
I'm not cooking. I had leftovers. It's so beautiful.
Good for you. Thank you,
guys.
Sue.
Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Bye now. Bye now.
Thank you.
Using the Tupperware in the fridge, putting it to use.
That's one way, not using her fan.
Thanks for a great hour, Walter.
My pleasure, sir, always.
Walter Rossi from Renovco. He's here next Saturday morning from 9 until 10. Lisa's standing by with the car show. More of your phone calls here. Jimmy, thank you so much. Don's standing by. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning as of 6 o'clock.